This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Paganampake Pagan alongside Ian McNally. There is another remake of Robin Hood that is now in cinemas. This one is directed by Otto Bathurst, and it was previously titled, Ian McNally, Robin Hood Origins.
Oh, God.
This movie is Robin Hood Begins, Essentially.
But it isn't even that. It's Robin Hood Begins chopped up with some other bits and pieces.
Oh, yeah. Chopped up with little bits of The Dark Knight.
Chopped up with bits of other previous Robin Hood movies.
Chopped up with little bits of Saving Private Locksley.
Yeah, the rest is the Sherwood Squaddies.
Exactly. This is a really weird mashup. Now, if you go to the Wikipedia page and you look up Robin Hood, you will see that there are more versions of Robin Hood on television and film than you can actually count, right? The ones, I guess, that stand out in our minds, at least the most recent ones, Kevin Costner's Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Russell Crowe's Terrible, Terrible Robin Hood.
The weird pagan-esque one on UK TV at the time, where Robin Hood changed actors halfway through the series.
That too. And, of course, the best Robin Hood movie of all time, Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Of course.
We're men. We're men in tights. I love that film.
Because, of course, he was one of the few Robin Hoods to actually have an English accent.
This movie, however, is this hyper-frenetic mess of a film which feels like a setup for a franchise.
Oh, ridiculously so. I mean, the opening of this movie starts pretty promisingly. We get to see, like, you know, the squaddies on patrol in, like, Arabia. Just Arabia, somewhere.
Arabia.
On the Crusades, but these are not the Crusaders you're thinking of. They've not got the usual white cloths, red crosses on. They literally look like modern-day squaddies. Even their outfit looks like a combat vest and tactical vests.
I mean, we're watching that and we're thinking, oh, look, they've taken inspiration from Afghanistan and Iraq, and I see what the director is doing here. He's creating this really cool visual act. And then it kind of goes very quickly downhill.
Yeah, and then they turn it into a worse version of TV's Green Arrow. And then it turns into a mix-mash of The Dark Knight and whatever the hell the middle chapter is before you get to the inevitable sequel.
Oh, I mean, Robin and Will Scarlet run parallel lives.
He's not even Will Scarlet.
He's just Will Tillman.
It's like I was expecting the Scarlet. It's like, that's got to be the Christian Slater character, right? And it's like, oh, Mr. Tillman. It's like, wait, why are you even giving him a second name if it's not Will Scarlet? Oh, but he's going to become Will Scarlet later.
He is. It's an origin story. And they run these ridiculous parallel lives, which are so, so similar to Bruce Wayne and Harvey Dent.
They're not even just that. This has the line, the hood is not the disguise, Robin of Locksley is. And it's like, seriously?
Otto Bathurst watched Christopher Nolan and went, I love this guy. I want to be just like him.
Yeah.
What franchise can I ruin? Oh, wait, Robin Hood.
And let's do it at 2.5 times speed, because it seems like Robin spent 2 days training when he gets back to England. First of all, he goes back to England because he was like hit by an arrow and has to go home in a hospital boat. But then he's fine for doing what seems like, two days training. But then he's fine. Like 2 days training, that's all he needs. And then it's like ninja, Green Arrow, archer, badass.
Oh, wait. Jamie Foxx is in this movie and he plays Yahya Ibn Omar.
But just call me John.
Just call me John.
But not little John. Not yet.
Not yet. That comes in the next movie,
man. He gets shorter in the next movie.
This is such a terribly conceived character, right? Jamie Foxx spends the whole movie putting on this fake Moorish Arabian accent only when it comes to this major confrontational scene and he suddenly goes street. All of the accent flies out the window and he's suddenly Jamie Foxx in like Training Day.
To be honest, I didn't notice him trying to do an Arabian accent at the beginning. I thought it was just Jamie
Foxx. I
don't know
what it was, right?
But there is something when Jamie Foxx and Ben Mendelsohn are on screen. There is like, hey, there's a movie here for a minute.
For about a minute.
Right? I mean, and it's a better movie they should be in.
And all they told Ben Mendelsohn to do as the Sheriff of Nottingham was basically ham everything up. Whatever you've done in Rogue One, whatever you've done in Ready Player One, up it up, baby.
Here's a white coat so you can get in the role of back into the role of Krennic from Rogue One. It's ridiculous. And It has some good ideas. There's all the sheriff's men have like pump action crossbows. Did you notice that? Like, there's all these gadgets and stuff. The crusaders at the beginning of the movie, there are like Gatling gun bow and arrow things. But all of these things are on the periphery.
They just left there.
Yeah.
And they're trying to do all of this world building stuff.
Yeah.
But they don't follow through on any of it. I mean, after the showing, we both got up and we were like, wait, there's so much in this movie that looks so good. Like, it doesn't look like bad CG. There's an actual city.
There's a point where there is a chariot race or a stagecoach race, and it looks like, I was unfavorable in my notes, I just noticed like, oh, well, that's obviously an empty warehouse. But they got an empty warehouse. They didn't just put it on a green screen and say, that's it. And when there is green screen, we can spot it once or twice, I think. We didn't spot that much of it. Some of it looks like, I think they shot in Croatia. It looks good, but you're looking at it going, this would be better if they popped the camera back 3 feet. Or put on a wide-angle lens. Like, everything seems to be very, very close. Even the action is very, very close. Nottingham also, apparently, is Mordor. Because that's, they don't live in, like, houses or huts on the street. They build these giant towers with walkways between them that only look good lit at night.
Nottingham is also really, really close to the ocean.
Yeah, that was weird.
Did someone move Nottingham over the last few hundred years? Because I think that's what happened.
Yeah, because you're able to sail from the Middle East straight to, it's like, Nottingham off the starboard bow! And it's like, what? Wait, no. All the action is actually competent and well done. It just seems that the camera is completely uninterested in capturing it.
Karen Egerton, Jamie Foxx, and Ben Mendelsohn have made some very bad choices with this movie. I think that much we can say for certain, right? Because, oh, wait, F. Murray Abraham is in this one. F. freaking Murray Abraham. What is he doing in this movie?
I don't know. He also, inexplicable accents also turn up. Because in Nottingham, you also have a mix of like, F. Murray Abraham just has, you know, classic actor accent.
Well, he is the cardinal, my friend.
Oh, of course.
So he has to speak like an actor.
And for some reason, Jamie Dornan is using his original Northern Irish accent. And Eve Houston, who's an Irish maid Marian, apparently she just moved over from Dublin. I don't know. That was weird.
No, she's the daughter of Bono.
Yeah,
so she can be whatever she wants.
He left her behind on tour.
Exactly. She can be whatever she damn well pleases.
But it's just weird choices. Like, Tim Minchin is playing Friar Tuck, and you're looking at that character going, why isn't that Bill Bailey?
I think that's what we get with all of these characters. We're watching it and we're like, no, we don't know anything about Robin, or Rob, as he's called throughout the film, or Will, or Marion, or Tuck, because everything works towards this one line at the end of the movie, and it's not a spoiler for me to say, I'll meet you in Sherwood. Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, wait, the movie's over and they're just getting to Sherwood Forest.
Then the movie's not over, though. Then it has to be like, hey, we've to set up the villain for episode 2.
Yes.
Which is the most ham-handed, garbage, like, way of setting something up. It's like, I didn't realize, you know, the bigness of a certain character, and I thought, like, oh, he's out now, and then he comes back, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's that guy from that thing. That's why he's in this, for the inevitable sequel.
But it's such stupid motivations as well.
We talk about a lot, it's a, you know, it's a B-movie plot with an A-movie budget. This is like a B-movie with A-list actors, but, like, realized on a C-movie scale.
I don't know if it was even that. I think that somehow if you had the time and space to develop what they maybe wanted to do with this movie, you could have something proper, right? I'm thinking if all these minds came together and went, hey, we could make a really cool Robin Hood TV series for the 21st century, because clearly this property has so much to exploit.
This would have worked as an hour-long episodic TV show, because they have all the cool suits. The bad guys are, even the bad guys are wearing like masks, so you can tell it's the same. You can't tell it's the same four stuntmen.
Yes.
And they have the setups, and they shoot in Croatia. They have all that. It could be like medieval Arrow.
There is so much to exploit in the Robin Hood story, right? And I think there's enough time between each movie that you'll have a new audience coming to it. Not that everyone is unfamiliar with the story. Everyone knows how it works.
Yeah.
And they keep pointing that stuff out. Steal from the rich, give to the poor.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the basic trope.
But it wasn't originally Robin's idea.
It wasn't Robin's idea. That being said, though, there are so many other Robin Hood stories in development. Apparently, the Wachowskis were working on a Robin Hood movie, and I don't know if they still are. Apparently, they've completed a script. Sony announced that they were making a Robin Hood franchise with spin-off solo movies for each of their characters.
I'm really looking forward to the Friar Tuck movie. I mean, these are, it's not a, like, look at what happened. Ridley Scott
messed up a Robin Hood movie.
So, like, what do you think? There has to be something that this adds nothing apart from some Arrow-style TV special effects. It doesn't really add anything. Or there's a personal relationship now between the Sheriff of Nottingham and Robin of Locksley, which this movie already had. The only thing that really it adds to it is automatic bow weapons and medieval combat gear that looks like modern tactical vests.
Exactly. That's about it.
Yeah.
That's about it. I mean, even that relationship between the Sheriff of Nottingham and Robin of Locksley is essentially John, at one point, Jamie Foxx's character, saying to Robin of Locksley, you need to be Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
You can't show off that you're Robin Hood. You have to be the rich playboy by day and the hood by night.
And it's not like it's a challenge for him. He just goes into a few rooms and smirks and he's away with it.
Of course, because the montage, the whole training montage is 30 seconds long.
How many like icons of religious figures did he have? Because he uses these for target practice and they go through like 150. And this is supposedly in a manner that's being ripped apart. I just love the fact that throughout this, they constantly berate Robin saying, you're not on your manor now. Which sounds like a thing that wide boys say to each other on the streets of London in the 50s. But I can see how this looked good on the page.
Because
they just didn't expect to have to flick the pages at such a speed. Because there's no time to come. We don't, like, there are good things in here, but they all go past at such a blistering pace. There are hints at we're democratizing the mines against before nationalization comes, basically. Or there's a point about you only have no power if you have fear. Right? That's when you're only powerless if you feel you're powerless. There's all these little ideas and things that they have in there, but not a single moment is given time to breathe.
No, there are these whole political speeches by the Sheriff of Nottingham, which actually kind of, well, which was clearly written to echo our current situation with Brexit and Trump.
Yeah.
But none of it is actually developed. I mean, when he says it, it just sounds...
It sounds like a joke.
It sounds
like
preachy.
They're going to come over here
headlines.
And overwhelm
exactly.
our borders. They're going to come
exactly.
over here and take our jobs.
Build a wall,
yeah,
right?
They're going to come over and take our peasants' jobs because the peasants don't have jobs. They're peasants.
Build a wall. Who's going to pay for it?
Yeah.
You are. I mean, that's in the film.
Yeah.
And yet, none of it is given time to breathe. So all it sounds like is just poor, lazy writing.
Yeah.
And that's what this movie is.
Yeah.
Poor, lazy writing. Someone had a cool idea over drinks one night and then just gave it to the wrong people to develop.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way this is getting a sequel. There's no way. It can't, right? It's so... When a movie is this desperate to say for a sequel, when it has so many hooks to connect the next sequel onto, that's when you know you're not getting one.
And you know what this feels like? This feels like that Tom Cruise Mummy movie.
Mm.
It's a movie, you're absolutely right, desperate for a sequel.
I wouldn't have been surprised if it opened with the Sherwood Universe logo.
Oh, God. Robin Hood is now in cinemas. You can go check it out if you absolutely must. And if you do, let us know what you think. I'm on @UmaPagan.
I'm on @McNastyPrime.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.